Volume 48, Number 2 of the Friend Magazine for February 2018. Contents. Stories and Features. Remembering President Thomas S. Monson. A Happy Plan for Emily. Family Night Fun. Book of Mormon Reading Club. Standing Up for Church. Family History Fun. Shine Your Light, Grateful Gifts. Apostles Testify of Christ, Elder Dallin H. Oaks. Back on the Trail, Show and Tell. Friend to Friend, Keep Trying, by Elder Peter F. Muirs. Caring for the Earth, Matt and Mandy, and Stop and Flip. For older kids, Peter the Pest, What's on Your Mind, The Pencil Problem, Food and Fun. Music, All Things Bright and Beautiful, Things to Make and Do, Fun Stuff, The Holy Ghost, Conference Quote Cards, Family History Quest, Old Testament Heroes, Adam and Eve, The Plan of Happiness, Fun Stuff, The Earth Was Created for You, Friend Junior, for Parents of Little Ones, Hi Friends, Day and Night, Good Night, Good Morning, Scripture Stories, Adam and Eve, Coloring Page, and Colby's Card. End of Contents.
Friends by Mail. The Friend in Prayer. I like to team rope in rodeos, but sometimes I get really nervous. I was reading The Friend about other kids who prayed when they had a problem, so I said a prayer for help. At the next rodeo, I wasn't nervous when they called my name, and I caught my steer. I am thankful for The Friend and prayer. Dixon G., age 9, Utah, USA.
Doing something nice. The Friend helps me do something nice every day. Sometimes I hold the door open at school. Doing something nice gives me a good feeling in my heart. Rachel I., age 9, Oregon, USA.
Long nights and reading. It stays light a lot longer during the summer where I live. At night, I read for a long time and like to read The Friend magazine or the scriptures. McKinley R., age 10, Alaska, USA.
How we read The Friend. When our mom was sick and needed to nap, we decided to read The Friend. Reading it helped us from getting into mischief. Micah and Levi S., ages 6 and 8, Nevada, USA.
Dear friends, this year you can go on a family history quest. Turn to page 18 for this month's activity. It's something fun you can do on your own or with your family. By the end of the year, you'll be an official family history finder. What's something special you've done with your family lately? Love, The Friend. Was there a story or activity this month that helped you? Tell us about it. Turn to page 39 to find out how. End of Friends by Mail for February 2018.
Remembering President Thomas S. Monson, who was born in 1927 and died in 2018. Thomas S. Monson, the 16th President of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, died on January 2, 2018, after a lifetime of loving and serving others. He was 90 years old. President Monson was born on August 21, 1927, in Salt Lake City, Utah. Growing up, he liked to carve and race toy boats and go fishing with his dog, Duke. He raised pigeons, chickens, and rabbits. During the Great Depression, many people didn't have much money, but the Monson family shared what they had. It was young Tommy's job each Sunday to bring a plate of food to an elderly neighbor. He learned to always look out for those in need. When he was only 22 years old, President Monson was called to be a bishop. There were 84 widows, women whose husbands had died, in his ward. President Monson took good care of them. He brought gifts of food, sometimes even a chicken from his own flock. He kept visiting these women each year, even after he became a busy apostle. President Monson and his wife, Frances, had three children. While serving as a mission president in Canada, he was busy helping missionaries, but he still took time each night to play with his children. He and his oldest son liked playing checkers every night. In 1963, President Monson was called to be an apostle. He got permission for a temple to be built in East Germany, when that country did not have many religious freedoms. He served as an apostle for 45 years. He became president of the church in 2008. While he was prophet, 35 temples were dedicated, and 45 were announced. President Monson loved the scriptures. In his last General Conference talk, he said, "Prayerfully study and ponder the Book of Mormon each day. As we do so, we will be in a position to hear the voice of the Spirit, to resist temptation, to overcome doubt and fear, and to receive heaven's help in our lives." President Monson spent his life helping people. On his 81st birthday, someone asked what he wanted for a birthday gift. He said, "Find someone who is having a hard time or is ill or lonely, and do something for him or her." Many children sent letters and cards telling how they had helped others. President Monson said, "My heart has seldom been as touched and grateful as it was when Sister Monson and I literally spent hours reading of these gifts." He believed that we are the Lord's hands as we serve others. As you follow President Monson's example, you will feel the happiness that comes from serving our Heavenly Father and others. End of the article, Remembering President Thomas S. Monson. Read by Van Farnworth. A Happy Plan for Emily, by David Dixon, Church Magazines, based on a true story. Every new song taught Emily something amazing. I Will Follow God's Plan for Me, Children's Songbook, page 164. Emily hurried into the primary room with the other kids. She loved going to primary. Ever since Mom was baptized a few weeks ago, Emily loved learning all she could about their new church. One of the girls in her class waved.
"Want to sit by me?"
"Sure,"
Emily said. She smiled and sat down by her new friend. They listened to the piano music. When it was singing time, Sister Seitz stood up. Emily scooted to the front of her chair. Singing time was her favorite.
"Good morning,"
Sister Seitz said.
"Today we are going to learn more about the plan of salvation."
Emily scrunched her eyebrows. The plan of what? She didn't think she'd ever heard of that before.
"Every one of you lived with Heavenly Father and Jesus in heaven before coming to earth. And you were so happy to come here to earth."
Emily felt a jump of excitement inside her chest.
"I used to live in heaven before I was born,"
she thought.
"And I knew Heavenly Father and Jesus."
Everyone started singing a song she didn't know. The words were so beautiful. "I lived in heaven a long time ago. It is true. Lived there and loved there with people I know. So did you." Emily had never heard anything about this before. She paid close attention to every word they sang.
"Heavenly Father loves you so much,"
Sister Seitz said after the song.
"That's why he created his plan for you. And guess what? You wanted to follow his plan. That's why you're here on earth today."
They sang another song. This one taught about following God's plan. Emily's excitement grew bigger and bigger.
"I chose to follow Heavenly Father's plan,"
she thought. That made her so happy. Next they sang, "I Am a Child of God." It was all about coming to earth and being born into a family. Emily felt warm and peaceful as she thought about her family. After each song, Sister Sites taught something new. Emily learned that heaven has three kingdoms, and that the highest one is called the Celestial Kingdom. After they sang the last song, Emily didn't want to stop.
Is there more to the story?
She asked. Sister Sites pointed at a picture of the sun on the board. It was above some pictures of the moon and stars. The sun represented the Celestial Kingdom.
That's where things keep going and growing. That's where our heavenly parents want us to be.
Emily could hardly stop smiling.
I was alive before I came here,
she thought again. She couldn't stop thinking about how amazing that sounded.
And I can live with Jesus again.
After primary, she ran up to Sister Sites.
Are we going to keep learning about the plan of salvation next week?
She asked.
We sure can. Did you like it?
Yes, I don't know why, but I felt in my heart that I did choose God's plan before I came to Earth. And I know that Heavenly Father really does love me.
Sister Sites gave Emily a huge smile. Her eyes were a little bit shiny.
Yes, you did. And yes, He does love you.
Emily bounced on her toes a little.
You know what? I'm going to live my life the best I can. I want to live with Heavenly Father and Jesus and my family in the Celestial Kingdom.
Sister Sites bent down and looked into Emily's eyes.
Me too.
End of the story, A Happy Plan for Emily. Read by Van Farnworth, Kate Strongen, Margot Patello, and Shannon Nelson.
Family Night Fun. Here's an idea for Family Home Evening. What other ideas can you come up with? Plan of Salvation Sing Along. Read A Happy Plan for Emily on page 4. Sing these songs with your family and talk about what you learned about Heavenly Father's plan. You can use pages 24 to 25 to talk about each step in the plan. Go to music.lds.org for recordings. I Lived in Heaven, Children's Songbook 4. I Will Follow God's Plan, Children's Songbook 164. I Am a Child of God, Children's Songbook 2. My Heavenly Father Loves Me, Children's Songbook 228. Faith, second verse, Children's Songbook 96. Families Can Be Together Forever, Children's Songbook 188. Celestial Slushies. The sun is a symbol for the Celestial Kingdom. Make these sunshine yellow drinks to remind you that you can live with our heavenly parents again someday. Be sure to get an adult's help. Here's the recipe. You'll need 1 cup chopped pineapple frozen, 1 cup chopped mango frozen, 1/2 cup of ice cubes, and 1 cup orange juice or lemon-lime soda. Put the fruit and ice in a blender, then pour in the juice or soda. Blend until the ice is crushed. Pour into glasses and enjoy. Tip: you can also put this in the freezer for a few hours, and then scoop it into more lemon-lime soda to make floats. More FHE ideas. Make catapults, page 38, then have a competition. Do this month's family history quest together, page 18. Is there a topic you'd like to learn about with your family? Go to lessonhelps.lds.org to find stories, activities, and media. End of Family Night Fun, read by Chloe Hopper.
Book of Mormon Reading Club. Join in by reading the Book of Mormon. You can read on your own, with your family, or with a friend. Then tell us about it. See page 39 to find out how. This month's scripture, 1 Nephi chapter 1, verse 20. Behold, I, Nephi, will show unto you that the tender mercies of the Lord are over all those whom he hath chosen, because of their faith, to make them mighty even unto the power of deliverance.
In January of 2016, our bishop told us to read the Book of Mormon as a family every night. Every time we read the Book of Mormon, I feel comfort and happiness, and I build a stronger testimony of Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ. Mercy B., age 10, Arizona, USA.
For scripture time, our family gathers around our big copy of the Book of Mormon. We usually read a couple of verses. Then we talk about what the scriptures mean so we can understand them better. I think scripture time is important because it brings families together. Lucas B., age 11, Utah, USA. End of the article, Book of Mormon Reading Club, read by Rena Nelson and Margo and Enzo Patello.
Standing Up for Church by Tracy Carter and Marissa Dennis, based on a true story. Be thou an example of the believers. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Easton's first sacrament meeting in Germany had just ended. He thought it would be really different, but it was a lot like church where he used to live. Only here he got to wear headphones to listen to the talks being translated into English. Mom and Dad were talking to the family sitting behind them. It looked like they had a boy his age.
"These are the Finotos,"
Mom told Easton.
"John Marco will be in your class at school."
"Cool."
Easton smiled at Gianmarco. His name sounded kind of like John and Mark squished together, with an O at the end. "So where are you from?" Gianmarco smiled back.
"We're from Italy, but we just moved here from China."
"Wow,"
said Easton.
"I've never been to China."
The next day, Easton went to his new school. He was a little nervous. But then he saw Gianmarco waving at him from across the classroom. At least he had one friend already. There were kids from all over the world in his class. Maybe he would like school.
"Good morning,"
the teacher smiled at everyone.
"I'm Ms. Albano. To start off, can anyone tell me what identity means?"
A girl raised her hand.
"It means who you are. What's most important to you?"
"Exactly. So let's get to know each other. What are some things that are part of your identity? What things make you you?"
"I like video games,"
said a girl in the front row. Miss Albano smiled and wrote hobbies on the board.
"What else?"
Gianmarco raised his hand.
"I'm from Italy."
Miss Albano nodded and wrote down country. Easton tried to think of something to say. "I go to church," said a boy in the back.
"That's a good one,"
Easton thought.
"I should have said that."
Someone laughed, and then some other kids started laughing. Easton looked at Gianmarco, confused. Gianmarco looked confused, too. Why would they laugh? When he got home, Easton told Mom what had happened. Mom nodded.
"Some people don't understand why church is important. They think it's silly."
"Oh,"
said Easton. He didn't think church was silly at all. A few weeks later, Miss Albano asked the students to do a presentation with a parent about their family's identity.
"What should our project be?"
Mom asked as they set the table for dinner. Easton thought about how the class had laughed.
"I think we should do it about the church."
Mom smiled.
"That's a great idea."
"And could Gianmarco and Sister Finotto do it with us?"
"Oh, I'll call them after dinner to find out."
The next day, Gianmarco and Sister Finotto came over. First, they talked about what they thought was most important about the church. Mom wrote down all their ideas in a notebook. Then they got poster boards and found pictures of Jesus and prophets and temples to glue onto it. When it was time for the presentation, Easton stood with Gianmarco and their moms at the front of the class. He took a deep breath.
"We are members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints,"
he began. They each took turn explaining things about the church. Gianmarco talked about scriptures. Mom talked about prophets. Sister Finotto talked about family home evening. Easton talked about baptism. Easton felt pretty good when they were done. Nobody laughed. The kids actually seemed to like it. He was glad he could share something so important with his class. He smiled. He knew his identity. He was a child of God. Sidebar: one's true identity is as a son or daughter of God. Elder Neil L. Anderson of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles.
End of the story, Standing Up for Church. Read by Kristen Hawkins, Gabriel Reinwand, Charlene Stewart, Enzo Patello, Shannon Nelson, and Jane Wise.
A true story, written by you. Family History Fun, Cool M-H-8, Utah, USA. I love family history research. When I was baptized, I learned that the first person baptized in my dad's family was my grandma. She was baptized exactly 40 years before me on the very same day. I loved talking to my parents and grandparents and learning stories about my ancestors. I've even learned how to enter their stories into FamilySearch.org. I also love searching online for my ancestors. I was so excited when my dad and I found a ship record on Ancestry.com with some of their names. I also got to visit a cemetery with my dad and grandpa to look for my relatives' graves. I was so happy when we found the tombstone of my great-great-grandfather. I also love reading the names on my mom's and dad's family trees. I've memorized so many names that my family made up a new game we like to play together. It's called the Family History Challenge. My mom asked my dad and me a question like, "Who's your mom's dad's wife's mom's mom?" Then the first one with the answer rings a buzzer. So far, I'm undefeated. I also love seeing my family go to the temple to do temple ordinances for my ancestors. And I'm looking forward to going too someday. I'm so grateful for families and that I get to help with this important work. End of the story, Family History Fun, read by Gabriel Reinwald.
Shine Your Light. Grateful Gifts. From an interview with Marissa Wittison.
Hola, my name is Alice, and I tried to shine my light by showing gratitude. 1. Playing hymns. I live in Brazil with my parents and sister and brother. My sister Julia and I play the piano for sacrament meeting in our ward. 2. An unexpected gift. One Sunday, a man named Brother Stalk gave us a present. He said it was a gift to thank us for the music we played on Sundays. When we opened the box, we found a special kind of flute inside. I put the flute together and started playing. I was enchanted by the sound. 3. Giving back. Soon I started playing hymns on the flute. I wanted to do something to thank Brother Stalk for the gift. So I practiced the hymn, How Great the Wisdom and the Love, hymns number 195. I asked my dad to take me to Brother Stalk's house so I could show him that his gift helped me discover a new talent. 4. A special dream. When I played for Brother Stalk, he was very happy and emotional. He told me that he had a dream about this hymn the night before. I felt the love of God for him and for me.
Happy feelings. When we show gratitude, the Lord blesses us with happy feelings from the Holy Ghost. How can you shine? Learn to sing, play, or conduct a hymn and share it in a family home evening. Practice a talent and share it with someone else. Or write your idea on page 13. Send us a star. Jesus asked us to let our light so shine before men. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. How do you let your light shine? Send us a star with your story, photo, and permission. See page 39. End of the article, Grateful Gifts, read by Chloe Patello and Noah Strongin.
Apostles testify of Christ. Elder Dallin H. Oaks said, "Jesus Christ is the only begotten and beloved Son of God. He is our Creator. He is the light of the world. He is our Savior from sin and death. This is the most important knowledge on earth, and you can know this for yourself, as I know it for myself." By Elder Dallin H. Oaks of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles. From Teachings of Jesus, Ensign, November 2011, page 93. End of this month's Apostles Testify of Christ, read by Van Farnworth.
Conference Quote Cards. here are some of our favorite quotes from October 2017 General Conference. Faith always defeats fear. President Henry B. Eyring, first counselor in the first presidency. The Lord loves to be with us. Elder Ronald A. Rasband of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. God has important work for each of us. Elder John C. Pingree, Jr. of the 70. Will you turn on your light? Sister Sharon Eubank, first counselor in the Relief Society General Presidency. End of conference quote cards read by Ethan Nelson.
Back on the Trail by Marissa Whittison, Church Magazines, based on a true story. Danilo knew the best way to go, didn't he? Keep the commandments. In this there is safety, in this there is peace. Children's Songbook, page 146. Danilo zoomed out of his apartment. His tia, or aunt, was babysitting him, and they were going to the park. His little sister, Rosami, held Tia's hand as they walked along. But Danilo didn't need to hold Tia's hand. He knew the way. He ran ahead and circled back, pretending to be flying at the speed of light as he raced around them. When they got to the park, Danilo knew where he wanted to go.
"Follow me,"
he said, as he ran to a place on the trail where trees grew overhead. It looked like a leafy green tunnel.
"Stay where I can see you,"
Tia reminded Danilo. Pretty soon they came to a spot where a dirt path branched off and headed down to the river. Danilo had never gone that way before.
"I'm going down here,"
Danilo called to Tia as he started sliding downhill.
"You can stay there for a minute, but then come back up,"
Tia called after him.
"I've tried that path before, and there's not a good way to walk along the river down there."
But Danilo was already at the water's edge. He could see a small strip of dirt running next to the water. That way seemed fine to him. Maybe Tia just didn't know what she was talking about. Danilo kept walking along the river. Tia and Rosami kept walking along the path above. Soon, Danilo noticed that the hillside was getting steeper. He could still hear and see Tia and Rosami, but they were getting farther away. The ground became sticky with thick mud. Danilo pulled himself on top of a big rock. When he looked ahead, all he saw was the river. He felt his stomach do a little flip. There wasn't any more trail, and he wasn't sure he could climb up the hill by himself. He was stuck.
"Tia?"
he called, looking up. Tia looked down the hillside and gave him a little smile. He felt his cheeks get hot.
Can you help me?"
With a kind look in her eyes, Tia nodded. She picked up a long stick and held it down to him.
"Grab this. I'll pull and you can climb back up to us."
Danilo grabbed the stick and started walking uphill. It was hard. His knee scraped against a rock. His elbow hit a low-hanging tree branch. Finally, he took Tia's outstretched hand, and she pulled him back onto the trail. He brushed the dirt off his clothes and shook the leaves from his hair.
"Thanks. Sorry I didn't listen to you."
Tia put her arm around his shoulders and gave him a squeeze.
"I love you, Danilo. I want you to be safe."
Danilo nodded. With a smile, he pointed forward.
"Let's keep going. On the trail this time."
Sidebar: a safe path. Tia told Danilo which path was best to use. Heavenly Father has given us a path to follow. His commandments help keep us safe and happy. Danilo realized he was stuck and wanted to get back on the right path. How can we repent when we make a wrong choice? Tia helped Danilo get back on the trail. Who can help us when we make a mistake? Tia was kind even after Danilo left the trail. How should we treat others when they make a bad choice? Remember that your Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ love you no matter what. All of us make bad choices sometimes. We can always repent and return to them.
End of the story, Back on the Trail. Read by Rena Nelson, Gabriel Reinwand, and Kristen Hawkins.
Family History Quest. Story time. Do the activity and earn a new badge each month. By the end of the year, you'll be an official family history finder. This month, ask your parents, aunts, and uncles, or grandparents to tell you stories about your family. They can be stories about things that happened a little while ago or a long time ago. These stories can be happy, sad, funny, as long as they are true. Now pick a story and draw in the squares below like a cartoon. How many stories can you add to your family history binder or box? Cut out your badge and add it to the badge keeper from January. Print past pages or extra copies of this page at friendfhq.lds.org. End of the activity, Story Time, read by Enzo Patello.
Old Testament Heroes. Adam and Eve taught their family. After creating the world, Heavenly Father created Adam and Eve. He put them in the Garden of Eden. He told them to have a family. He also told them not to eat the fruit on a special tree. Satan tricked Adam and Eve. They ate the fruit and had to leave the Garden of Eden. But this was all part of God's plan. Now Adam and Eve were able to have children. They taught their family about the gospel. They trusted God even when they had to do things that were hard or scary. We are so grateful for how faithful and brave Adam and Eve were. Read about the creation in Genesis 1 through 2. Adam and Eve were the first parents on earth. They taught their children about the gospel. We can teach our family good things too. Memorize Moses 5:12. Watch chapter 3 of the Old Testament videos at scripturestories.lds.org. Write in your journal about what things you will teach your family someday. I will help my family by... Print more cards at otfriend2018.lds.org. Tabitha G., age 10, California, USA, drew a beautiful picture of the Garden of Eden on page 19. End of this month's Old Testament Heroes, read by Eden Reinwand.
Show and tell. When President Russell M. Nelson came to state conference, he blessed the children that if we read the Book of Mormon, we would be the best readers in our class. My reading scores have improved a lot since I started reading the Book of Mormon. Joshua W., age 9, Utah, USA.
Two friends at school noticed my CTR ring and asked if they could have one. I asked my mom if I could get rings for everyone in my class at school. I told them what it stands for, and they couldn't stop thanking me. I felt happy inside. Elizabeth D., age 10, Okinawa, Japan.
Sometimes I'm the only one who comes to primary in my branch. Angelina F., age 9, Florida, USA.
My school assignment was to make a model of a California landmark, and I chose the Oakland, California Temple. I learned that ships and planes use the temple to help them navigate through the fog. Lorenzo D., age 10, California, USA.
Eve D., age 11, from Mississippi, USA, said, I'm grateful for all, from tiny butterflies small to mountains so tall.
I like to serve the sisters in our ward by playing with their children. I love the happy feeling I get from serving. Masha K., age 11, Central Federal District, Russia.
Aaron W., age 12, from Rhineland, Palatinate, Germany, said, When I turned 12, my parents took me to the Hog Netherlands Temple, where I was baptized for my great-uncle. It was such a great day.
Me and my friend had a contest to see how many compliments we could give on Valentine's Day. It made us feel happy. Annalise W., age 11, Utah, USA.
I feel a spirit when we're singing primary songs. And I try to remember to pray every day. Noah B., age 8, Somerset, England.
Other contributors to Show and Tell. Tyson P., age 7, Washington, USA. Zachary C., age 8, Michigan, USA. Sarah C., age 10, New South Wales, Australia. Kaylee P., age 9, Maryland, USA. Natalie W., age 11, Montana, USA.
End of Show and Tell for February 2018.
Friend to Friend, Keep Trying, by Elder Peter F. Moyers of the 70. If they humble themselves before me and have faith in me, then will I make weak things become strong unto them. Ether, chapter 12, verse 27. My parents joined the church when I was young. We were in a small branch in Australia. My mother played the piano at church, but she could play only a few of the hymns. I was learning to play the piano too. When I was 7, the branch president asked me to play at church. When I played the piano in church, I made mistakes. And when I made a mistake, I would cry. I was very shy and nervous. But I kept practicing. I wanted to play the hymns well. Now, I love to play the piano. I can play all of the hymns. On my mission in New Zealand, I served in another small branch. They didn't have anyone to play the piano, so I played the organ and the piano for a year. Working through my fears was a blessing for me. It allowed me to bless others. When I was a little boy, I also struggled with speaking. I had a stutter. It was hard to share my testimony in front of everyone. Sometimes, when I tried to speak, I just burst into tears instead. I had priesthood blessings to help me. My mom and dad were very encouraging. Eventually, I was blessed to be able to speak more clearly and confidently. I still get nervous. Walking up to the stand to speak at General Conference was scary. But there was such a powerful spirit there. I felt uplifted and calm. It was amazing. If you are shy or have a hard time speaking, keep trying. Even if you continue to struggle, we need to hear what you have to say. You can bless lots of people with the things only you can say. From an interview with Jordan Monson Wright. End of the section, Friend to Friend, Keep Trying, by Elder Peter F. Moyers of the 70. Read by Dwayne Case.
The Plan of Happiness. Before I was born, I lived as a spirit with my heavenly parents. Heavenly Father told us he had a plan to help us learn and grow. I was so happy. Jesus Christ volunteered to be my Savior. He came to earth and set a perfect example for me. He paid for my sins. He knows what my troubles feel like and can help me. I love Jesus. I was born on this beautiful earth. I got a body. My spirit and body work together as I learn. Every day, I try to follow Jesus by being kind. I follow Jesus by being baptized. I promise to keep the commandments. Heavenly Father promises the Holy Ghost will help me. When I do something wrong, I can repent and try again next time. This is how I learn and grow. Even though I'm far from my heavenly parents and Jesus Christ, I can still feel close to them. I can pray to Heavenly Father anytime. I can read the scriptures. One day I can go to the temple and learn more about God's plan for me. Death is part of Heavenly Father's plan. When I die, my body will stay on earth and my spirit will go to the spirit world. My spirit will be with my family and friends who have already died. Someday I will be resurrected. That means my body and spirit will come back together. I will see Jesus again. I can live with my family and heavenly parents forever. I'm so grateful for the plan of happiness. End of the Coloring Storybook. Read by Enzo Patello.
Caring for the Earth by Wendy Ellison and Marissa Dennis, based on a true story. Patricia and her friend Denise are listening to Sister Hall teach in primary.
Heavenly Father created a wonderful earth for us. We can help take care of the earth and keep it beautiful.
After class, Patricia and Denise walk outside and wave goodbye to Sister Hall. Patricia says to Denise,
I wonder how we can help take care of the earth.
I don't know. The earth is pretty big.
Well, maybe we don't have to take care of all of it at once.
Yeah, maybe we can do something in our neighborhood.
The next day, at Denise's house, she says to Patricia,
Guess what? My mom said she needs help weeding our garden.
Awesome! And my dad said we can ask neighbors if they have some stuff we can recycle.
Denise and Patricia decide to go around the neighborhood to serve their neighbors. First, they weed the garden outside. Patricia asks,
Is this one a weed?
No, it's a strawberry plant.
Then they pull a wagon full of recycle to Mrs. Marsden's house and ask her,
Hi, Mrs. Marsden. Do you have anything we can recycle?
What a great idea. I have some magazines you can take.
Denise and Patricia are happy with how much they gathered to recycle. Denise asks,
What next?
Let's pick up trash at the park. I'll get my dad.
At the park, Patricia's dad helps the girls pick up trash from the grass. He says,
I'm proud of you, too. You're helping take care of Heavenly Father's creations.
Patricia smiles and says,
We're friends of the earth.
Sidebar. We should care for the earth, be wise stewards over it, and preserve it for future generations. President Russell M. Nelson, The Creation, Ensign May 2000, page 86.
End of the comic, Caring for the Earth. Read by Amelie Strongen, Van Johansen, Charlene Stewart, Shannon and Wes Nelson, Jane Wise, and Scott Tibbetts.
Matt and Mandy. The Cooper family is enjoying family home evening, and Mandy is in charge tonight.
Since I'm in charge of family home evening tonight, we're going to have a star party.
Dad says,
Sounds fun. I'll dust off my old telescope.
Mom says,
I hope the sky will be clear.
I'll get out my old lying on the grass looking up at the stars blanket.
Don't worry about those things. We just need some paper and pens and a copy of The Friend.
Mandy pulls out her copy of The Friend, which she'd been hiding behind her back. She then reads a quote from the Let Your Light Shine article.
So we should let our light shine by being kind and helpful to others. Then we can write about it on a paper star and send it to The Friend.
Matt asks,
Mandy, will you show me your cool trick for making stars?
Sure, then I can write that good deed on a star.
The rubber chicken adds,
Think you could teach me how to hold scissors?
End of Matt and Mandy.
For older kids, what do you call a pig who knows karate? See page 39 for the answer. Dear Journal, write about the people you love most. What do you love about them? Secret Service, multiply your age by 2, then pick up that many pieces of trash. Let someone go ahead of you in line. Donate unused clothes and toys to a shelter or charity. Quick quiz. Who was Alma the Younger's missionary companion? See page 39 for the answer. Was it Ammon, Amulek, Aaron, or Abinadi? Draw it. Draw a shark from the letter C. Lisa S., age 9, Utah, USA, said, I was struggling in computer class at school, and I was very frustrated, but my friend Kylie believed I could do it, and she helped me. End of article for older kids, read by Chloe Hopper.
Peter the Pest, by Jane McBride, based on a true story. Get out of my room and don't ever come in here again, Matthew yelled. Be reconciled to thy brother. 3 Nephi, chapter 12, verse 24. Matthew clamped his hands over his ears.
I can't hear you.
He chanted it over and over to drown out his little brother's whining.
Yes, you can,
Peter said.
Why can't I go with you?
The trouble was, Peter always wanted to hang out with Matthew. Usually, Matthew didn't mind. But today, he wanted to go to the park with just his friends. Peter could be such a pest.
Why can't you leave me alone?
Matthew said between gritted teeth.
You've got your own friends.
Then he ran out of the house before Peter could follow him. At first, he felt a little bad about leaving his brother behind. But when he and his friends started playing soccer, he forgot all about Peter. When he got home from the park, Matthew walked into his bedroom. He stopped cold in his tracks. He couldn't believe it. One of his dinosaur models was scattered in pieces all over the floor. It was the T-Rex, his favorite.
Peter!
Matthew yelled.
What did you do?
Dad stuck his head in the doorway.
What's all the yelling about?
All Matthew could do was point to the broken model. He was too angry to even speak. It had taken him hours to paint it and put it together. Peter came to the bedroom door, eyes on the floor.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to drop it. I just wanted to play with it. I tried to fix it.
Get out of my room and don't ever come in here again.
Peter started to cry and ran down the hallway. Matthew didn't need to look at Dad to know what look he had on his face.
I'm sorry,
Matthew said at last.
But he deserved it. He shouldn't have played with my dinosaur, and then he wrecked it.
It was wrong of him to play with it. But I think he just wants to do the same stuff you do. You're probably the most important person in the world to him.
Matthew thought about that. He could picture the happy look Peter had when they played basketball together, even though Peter couldn't dribble the ball that well. Matthew's shoulders slumped.
I probably need to tell him I'm sorry for yelling at him.
He found Peter curled up in his bed, the covers pulled up to his eyes. Matthew tugged at the covers.
I'm sorry.
Peter swiped tears off his cheek.
I'm sorry I wrecked your dinosaur,
he said in a muffled voice. Matthew thought of all the hours he'd spent making the dinosaur perfect. He swallowed hard.
It's okay. Maybe we can fix it.
Peter sat up.
You mean I can help you?
Matthew nodded.
Sure.
By the end of the afternoon, the dinosaur looked pretty good, even if one eye was a little crooked. Matthew glued the last piece in place.
Not bad,
he said.
Not bad,
Peter echoed. Matthew studied the model and smiled.
Cool. He looks like he was in a fight but still came out on top.
Cool!
The next day, Mrs. Garcia assigned the class to write about the most important person in their life. Matthew didn't even have to think twice about who he would write about. His essay about Peter got an A. But that wasn't as important as realizing how much Peter meant to him. The author lives in Colorado, USA.
My name is Natalie, and I am a twin. Sometimes being a twin is hard because adults may accidentally compare you and your twin. Even though this may happen, I know that they don't mean to. I prayed and asked Heavenly Father to help me be nicer to my twin. I got a warm feeling inside of me, and I know it was the Holy Ghost. Natalie O., age 11, Utah, USA.
End of the story, Peter the Pest, by Jane McBride. Read by Ethan and Wes Nelson, Gabe Strongen, Chloe Patello, and Lindsay Hepworth.
What's on your mind? Sometimes I get really mad. What can I do? Mad and Melbourne.
Dear Mad, here are some things you should know about feeling angry, plus some ideas to try next time you're upset. Keep trying. The friend. Get the facts. Fact 1. Feeling angry doesn't mean you're bad. Sometimes those feelings are a signal to do something positive to feel better. Try the ideas on this page the next time you need to chill out. Fact 2. Heavenly Father always loves you and understands your feelings. You can pray and tell Him about your feelings anytime. The Holy Ghost can comfort you and help you feel calm. Fact 3. It's never okay to hurt someone when you're angry, with your words or your body. If you are mad at someone, try talking with them and finding a solution. If someone is hurting you, make sure you get help right away. Strike a pose. The way we move can change how we feel. Try this next time you're upset. Step 1. Stand like a superhero. Step 2. Breathe in and stretch up high. Step 3. Breathe out slowly and reach for the ground. Step 4. Repeat. Make a calming glitter bottle. When you're upset and want to feel calm, shake the bottle, then breathe deeply. As you watch the glitter settle, let your feelings settle too. Step 1. Fill a plastic bottle with water. Leave a little room at the top. Step 2. Add lots of fine glitter. Step 3. Add clear glue if you want the glitter to move more slowly. Step 4. Glue or tape the lid tightly closed. It's ready to shake. Also try. You could also add food coloring, bigger glitter, glitter glue, pipe cleaners bent in fun shapes, etc. Have fun with it. Let it drift away. Here's something you can try while watching your calming glitter bottle. Sit or lie in a comfy position. Breathe in so your stomach expands like a balloon. Breathe out slowly. Try doing this 5 times. Imagine your angry thoughts turning into clouds. As you breathe, let the thoughts drift away. If new angry thoughts come, watch them turn into clouds and drift away too. When I'm angry, I can talk to someone about how I feel, pray for help to calm down, run, dance, or play a sport, write in my journal, count backwards from 100, draw a picture, use my calming glitter bottle, or write your own ideas on page 35. What's on your mind? Do you have a question about the gospel, growing up, or getting a testimony? Email us at friend@ldschurch.org and put "What's on your mind?" in the subject line. Don't forget to include the permission statement on page 39. We're excited to hear from you. End of the article, "What's on your mind?" Read by Sean Nelson and Noah Strongin.
The Pencil Problem by Megan Decker, based on a true story. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. I raced from my math class to my locker. I couldn't wait to meet my friends for lunch. Starting middle school was pretty scary, but after a few weeks, I had made some new friends. I could even make it to my classes without getting lost. When I got to my locker, I saw my new friends standing around Alex. They were looking at something he was holding. "What's up?" I asked.
"It's Alex's lucky day,"
Josh said.
"He went to the library to buy a mechanical pencil, but someone put too much money in the machine, so he got an extra pencil for free."
Alex held out the pencils for me to see. They had green and blue stripes with yellow erasers. "Wow," I said. "But what about the person who lost the money?"
"Come on, Maya. Whoever lost it is long gone,"
Josh said.
"It's their fault they put in too much money."
"Well, yeah, but the money still belongs to someone else, doesn't it?" Alex's smile faded a little.
"I guess it does, but I don't know who put in the extra money."
"Don't listen to her, Alex. It's yours."
Josh turned to me.
"Why are you trying to make him feel bad?"
Everyone seemed to agree with Josh.
What if I ruined my new friendships because I disagreed? I took a deep breath. I'm not trying to make you feel bad, I said to Alex, but maybe you could talk to Mr. Reed in the library about it. Hey guys, Liz interrupted. We'd better get to the cafeteria before they run out of pizza. The group headed to the cafeteria, leaving Alex and me alone. Alex looked at the pencils, and then at me.
I think I want to talk to Mr. Reed. Will you come with me?
Sure, I said. Let's go. We walked to the library, and Alex explained to Mr. Reed what had happened. Mr. Reed checked the vending machine where Alex got the pencils.
There's nothing wrong with the machine,
Mr. Reed said.
Someone must have put money in for two pencils, but only turned the knob once. I don't have a way to find out who did it, so you can keep the extra pencil. Thanks for being honest.
As we left the library together, I worried that Alex would be mad at me for talking him into going to the library for nothing. We were halfway down the hall before Alex spoke.
Thanks, Maya. I didn't feel totally good about keeping the pencil, but I wasn't sure what to do. I feel okay about it now.
I was so relieved. I'm glad you're not mad at me, I said.
Mad?
Alex looked surprised.
Why would I be mad? I made my own choice. Thanks for going with me to see Mr. Reed.
No problem, I answered. I still need to get my lunch from my locker. I'll meet you in the cafeteria. I grabbed my lunch from my locker and ran to the cafeteria. I was glad I'd spoken up and then everything turned out okay. I was smiling all the way to the cafeteria. Today felt like my lucky day, too.
Sidebar. I know it is something hard to stand for truth and right. Yet we need to be positive examples if we are to help others find a better way. Elder M. Russell Ballard of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, Standing for Truth and Right, Ensign, November 1997, page 39.
End of the story, The Pencil Problem. Read by Enzo Patello, Gabriel Reinwand, Scott Tippetts, Wes Nelson, and Amelie Strongen.
Food and fun. After school snack in a jar. Fill a jar at night. After school the next day, add dressing and shake the jar to mix everything. Enjoy. Choose your ingredients. Cooked white or brown rice, carrots cut into matchsticks, shredded cabbage, mandarin orange slices, green onions, cubed chicken, turkey, or pork, ginger dressing. Create your own combinations. Be sure to get an adult's help. Catapult construction. Launch small items like pebbles, cotton balls, and coins. What goes the farthest? Test different designs to see which one works best. Step 1. Stack 5 craft sticks and wrap rubber bands on each end. Change the size of your catapult by using more or fewer sticks. Step 2. Stack 2 more sticks together and wrap a rubber band on one end. Step 3. Separate the sticks at the other end and fit the 5 sticks between them. Secure with a rubber band. Step 4. Glue a bottle cap onto the end of the top stick. You're ready for launch. End of Food and Fun, read by Van Johansson.
You Shine Bright. How to write to the friend. To send us a letter, drawing, poem, or star, fill out the form below and send it in with your story or artwork. Send a school picture or other high-resolution photo. We might edit your submission for length or clarity, and we can't return it to you. You must be at least 3 years old. The Last Laugh. In this month's The Last Laugh, Grandpa is standing at the front door, holding up his pants with his hands, while his grandkids play on a tire swing they've made out of his suspenders. One of the grandchildren says,
"Can you believe Grandpa was only using these suspenders to keep his pants up?"
End of You Shine Bright, read by Gabriel Reinwand and Noah Strongen.
For parents of little ones, February can often mean candy hearts and red valentines, but it's also a great month to teach kids about the Savior's love. In one of his final teaching moments with his disciples, the Savior taught them to love one another and keep His commandments as a way of showing love for Him. See John chapter 13, verse 34, John chapter 14, verse 15. Have fun teaching these messages in creative ways. Here are some ideas to teach your child about love. Teach your children that we can show love by helping others. Point out the different ways family members show love by helping at home. Talk about how we can show love for Heavenly Father and Jesus. Try, it's time for family prayers. Folding our arms shows Heavenly Father we love Him. Or, thinking about Jesus during the sacrament tells Him we love Him. Learn the words to love one another together. Make up simple hand motions, like giving each other a hug each time you sing the word love, to help even the youngest children get involved. Heavenly Father put us in families to help us learn about love. Make I love you cards together to send to extended family members. Show young children pictures of who you are sending them to so they can start learning names and faces of faraway family. Note, you can read past letters at friendfplo.lds.org. End of the section for Parents of Little Ones. Read by David Shaw.
Hi, friends. Bentley and Harrison, ages 5 and 1, in Nevada, USA, said, "In family home evening, we talked about our special time in the temple when my brother was sealed to us and how we felt. After, we built a temple out of sugar cubes." Minjun, age 3, in Hawaii, USA, said, "I like to show my baby brother when I color in the friend." Elizabeth, age 3, in California, said, "I follow Jesus by showing love to my sister and helping clean up toys." Savannah, age 4, in Ontario, Canada, said, "Helping my mom with the laundry is fun." End of the article. Hi, friends. Read by Eden Reinwand.
Day and Night by Jennifer Maddie. Reese's nose is cold, but the sunshine warms her face. She spots a cheerful bird hopping across the snow. Chirp, chirp. Reese sees the glow of a red and an orange sunset. Tree shadows dance across the ground. Reese smiles up at the sparkling stars and shining moon. Reese thanks Heavenly Father for the beautiful day and the beautiful night. End of the article, Day and Night, read by Sean Nelson.
Scripture Stories, Adam and Eve, by Kim Webb Reed. Heavenly Father and Jesus created the earth. They made the land, sea, sun, and stars. They made plants and animals. Then the earth was ready for Heavenly Father's children. Who would He send to live on the earth first? Adam and Eve. Heavenly Father put them in the Garden of Eden. All the food they needed grew in the garden. They did not have to work. They did not get sick. Heavenly Father told Adam and Eve that if they ate some fruit from one of the trees, they would have to leave Eden. Satan tempted Eve to eat the fruit, and she did. So did Adam. Their choice to leave Eden was part of Heavenly Father's plan. After they left Eden, Adam and Eve learned to pray, repent, and have faith in Jesus. They became parents and taught their children the gospel. Life outside Eden was harder, but they learned important new things. They were happy. I am like Adam and Eve. I chose to come to Earth so I could learn, grow, and become more like my heavenly parents. End of Scripture Stories, Adam and Eve, by Kim Webb Reed. Read by Kate Strongen. Colby's Card by Heather M. Smith, based on a true story. "Who wants to pick the song for family night?" Dad said. "I do," Colby said. "Let's sing I'm Trying to Be Like Jesus."
Colby sang loudly, "I'm trying to be like Jesus. I'm following in his ways. I'm trying to love as he did in all that I do and say." Mom began the lesson. "How can we be like Jesus?" "We can be nice," Colby said. "Yes," Mom said. "Jesus was nice. What else did Jesus do that we can do?" "He comforted sad people," Dad said. "He helped them feel better." "How can we do that?" Mom said. Colby thought. Comfort seemed like a grown-up word. Could he really comfort someone who was sad? The next Sunday, Colby sat next to Katie in primary. "My mom is sick," Katie said. "She had to stay home." Colby remembered how sad his mom was when she was sick. When Colby got home, he found some paper and a pen. "I'm making a card," he said. Colby drew lots of smiling faces. Dad helped him write "Get Well." Colby put the card in an envelope. "Can we take this to Katie's mom?" Colby asked. "I want to comfort her." Colby and Dad went to Katie's house. Katie came to the door. "This is for your mom," Colby said. A few days later, Colby heard a knock at the door. He ran to the front room. His mom was talking to Katie's mom. "Thank you for the card, Colby," Katie's mom said. "It made me feel happy." Colby smiled. He didn't have to be a grown-up to do what Jesus would do. He could comfort people now.
End of the story. Colby's Card. Read by Kate Strongen.